Well, I wonder what home looks like for you. See, I grew up on the South Coast, so home for me is anywhere that there's a beach. I love swimming in the water. I love the sand. I love the sound, the smells. I even love how kind of gross you feel after you've been at the beach when your hair is kind of crispy and your skin's kind of salty. I love being at the beach. I love reading a book at the beach. I love sitting on the beach. And if it wasn't for my fear of one day getting a skin cancer, I'd probably spend all my time at the beach. But you know, I asked a few different people in our team this week where home was for them. I asked Kylie where she felt most at home. And Kylie said, "I feel at home at home." She feels most at home in a comfy lounge chair like this one, with a good book and a cup of tea. She didn't say with a plant or a plant next to her, but I know her, so I have added one here as well. And then finally, I asked my friend Jane where she feels most at home. Now, Jane's is a little harder to illustrate. As you can imagine, she's not from Australia. So Jane, can you come up here? Can you bring Jason with you? Maybe Hayley and Zoe, do you want to come as well? Hayley and Zoe, come up with Jane. Come here, up on this one. All right, well, you stand here. Yep. And Jason, just here. Yep, that's good. Zoe, come over this side for me. Just over here. Hayley, yeah, over this side too. Okay, now I'm just arm around him like that. And you come here. Oh, isn't that sweet? Oh. See, Jane feels most at home anywhere where she's with family and friends. But then she came to me with an amendment. She said, "Is it too late to change my answer?" And I said, "Well, sort of. I've already written my sermon, but that's okay because I'm very accommodating." See, Jane said, anywhere where there's family and friends and where she can share a meal with them. Now, I don't have a meal, but I have a leftover cake from our last day in the office. So, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This is where Jane feels most at home. Give them a round of applause. You can have the cake. See, I wonder what home feels like to you. Is it a place? Is it a feeling? Is it about the people that you are with? I want you to picture the place that you feel most at home as we move through the scriptures today. I want you to keep that picture in your mind as we take a look at what Jesus has to say to us this morning. Well, over the past few weeks, we've talked about the lead up to Jesus' birth. We pictured what it may have been like in the panic leading up to the birth that quickly morphed into Mary's deep love for her son. The disappointment that was experienced by Joseph that eventually turned to great hope. The chaos at the scene of Jesus' birth that leads us to an experience of peace. And then finally, last week, we looked at the sorrow immediately following Jesus' birth as Herod lashes out and how that sits with the joy that Jesus came to bring. And so today, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're going to look beyond it. And I want to spend some time looking at what follows the birth of Jesus in Luke's gospel. Ian shared with us already this morning about these two people that are often left out of the Christmas story, but I think that they are significant. These are two people who were most at home in the temple. Two people who felt most at home worshipping, praising, praying to God. So we heard a few weeks back that the angels made the first public declaration of Jesus' birth. They made that proclamation to the shepherds, and then the shepherds went and they spread the word to all who heard it. And so today we read about two more encounters, two more incidences where Jesus' birth is declared, it's confirmed his identity, and both of those things occur in the temple. So Joseph and Mary they had taken Jesus to Jerusalem to be consecrated and to offer sacrifice, as was common practice back in those days. And in Luke 2, 25 to 26, we read that in Jerusalem at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. So God had told Simeon that in his lifetime, he would see Jesus. What an incredible promise. The one who would come to make everything right. And so Simeon, this man, he lived in prayerful expectancy that Jesus was going to come. I love that phrase, how it's put in the Message paraphrase, prayerful expectancy. And I wonder this morning, are you living in prayerful expectancy? Are you expecting God to keep his promises, to show up for you? Perhaps like Simeon, we too need to live prayerfully expectant for what God is going to do. Because unlike Simeon, until this moment in time, we already know that Jesus has come, that he has died, that we have already been saved and reconciled to him. And then we hear from Anna. Listen to what Scripture has to say about her. In Luke 2, 36 to 38, it says, Anna the prophetess was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. I think that could be your new nickname, Nathaniel. Phanuel. Yeah, it's good. She was by now very old. She had been married 7 years and was a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshipping night and day with her fastings and prayers. At the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into anthems of praise to God, and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. Again, this woman was most at home in the temple. She worshipped day and night. She was at home with God. And she is overjoyed at the sight of Jesus. And so she goes and she shares this message of hope to everyone who is eagerly anticipating the birth of our Saviour. It doesn't say what type of people she went to. It simply says those who were waiting expectantly. And then in the midst of the introduction of these two people that were most at home with God, and they're meeting Jesus for the first time, we read a psalm of Simeon, and it is significant. It was significant in this moment in time and throughout all time. Verse 28 says, Simeon took him in his arms, this is Jesus, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all the nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He's basically saying, you know what, God, I'm good. I can die now. I've seen how you're going to redeem my people, and not just Israel, but all people, all nations. This is a significant moment, not just in the Christian story, but also in Luke's gospel. Because as we read more of Luke's gospel, we find that it is a gospel of inclusion for all people. One commentator says this about this moment in time. With Simeon's psalm, Luke launches into the main theological project of his gospel, redefining the boundaries of salvation from the historic covenant community of Israel to the non-national community of the repentant. Luke's phrase for this new community is all people. All people, all nations, all backgrounds. He came for all people. This tiny little baby that we are here to celebrate today came for everyone. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've ever wondered if this whole Christianity thing is for you, then I want to tell you today that it is. Jesus, the person, God in human flesh, this man that we celebrate today, came for every single one of us. And do you know how I know that? Because as we read on in Scripture, we see that this child, he grows up, he matures, he develops into a man, and he begins his earthly ministry. And time again, we read of Jesus going to the lowest, most frowned upon, judged, hurting, broken people and saying, "Welcome home. There is a seat for you at the table. There is a place for you in God's kingdom." And this is all it takes for those people. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You too can be at home with Jesus. Now, of course, many of you are already there. Many of you are already at home with Jesus. You know him, you love him, you want to become more like him. And one of the beautiful things about being at home with Jesus is that we get to build something of a home together. As the church, we come together, all kinds of different people or nations or backgrounds, with the common connection of faith, of relationship with the Saviour. And as individuals, we get to create this church, this place where people can feel at home. Whatever that picture that you thought of earlier today, of what being at home looks like, where you feel the most at home, this is what church should feel like as well. It should be safe. It should be secure. You should be able to be yourself, exactly the person that God created you to be. And it is our prayer, more than ever, in a world that is so hostile and divided, that this church would be a place that you can come and feel at home. Today, I want to leave you with words. Some words that we looked at just over 2 years ago when we opened our building here in Parramatta Salvos. These words that I hope today are more true in your heart than ever before. These words just aren't about our faith community here at Parramatta, but about the universal church, the collective body of believers who feel at home with Jesus, who have said yes to following Jesus and want to create a space that others can feel at home with him too. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. It says, "That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now he is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus at the cornerstone that holds all of the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quiet at home." Let me pray. A loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the significance of that day. We thank you for the significance of what is to come. God, we thank you that we get to be reconciled to you, saved from our sin, saved from our separation from you, that we get to live in relationship and be at home with you. Pray for those this morning who are still seeking you, who are still wondering what this journey of faith is all about. May you speak to their hearts this morning. And for those of us who are already at home with you today, we pray that you would help us to build a church, a community of faith, where others can come and feel as though they belong, as they are at home with you, and hopefully come and find you in this place. So we just ask this morning, as we worship, as we sing, that you would continue to speak to our hearts. We thank you for this day and all that it means to so many of us. And we thank you for the blessing of the birth of your Son this Christmas. Amen.